Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading. I'll reread the first five verses. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The deaf hear, and lepers are cleansed. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Thus far the text. You probably already know that John the Baptist looms large in the season of Advent. We even started the service today by singing about him. When all the world was cursed by Moses' condemnation, St. John the Baptist came with words of consolation. With true forerunner's zeal, the greater one he named. Yes, John the Baptist came with words of consolation, with true forerunner's zeal. At least, that's how John had come. That's how John had come back in his Judean wilderness days. With words of consolation, preaching to repentant sinners, with true forerunner's zeal, so zealous for the truth that he was even willing to call scribes and Pharisees a brood of vipers. So zealous that he was willing to rebuke ruler Herod for committing adultery with his brother's wife. John the Baptist, with those words of consolation and with the true forerunner's zeal. But that's not where we find him in Matthew chapter 11. Now for that, John sits in prison. He sits in a dark and lonely cell. And now John the Baptist's words of consolation have all dried up. Now his true forerunner's zeal has burned out. Now John, instead of comforting others, needs someone to comfort him. Now, instead of showing zeal for the promised Christ, he needs someone to show zeal on his behalf. And his followers, his disciples, they need the exact same thing. With their leader in prison, where will they go? Whom will they follow now? What will become of John the Baptist and his crew? You see, in today's text, doubt looms large. Doubt looms large, especially when they hear about the deeds of the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, especially as they hear about his teaching and his miracles. The doubts creep in. How is that? Well, after all, Jesus is the one whose way John the Baptist prepared. Jesus is the one to whom John pointed as the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one whom John said was the promised Messiah, the coming one. John had said all of that, and now look what's become of him. He might as well be chopped liver sitting in that prison cell. That's how it feels. Seemingly forgotten, cast aside. Jesus increasing while John gets smaller and smaller and smaller in that small prison cell of his. This is where we find John, in darkness and in doubt, when the promise and the reality don't seem to match, in the struggle to live by faith. And where does John turn? Where does he look for comfort? Where does he send his disciples? he sent word by them and said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Feel free to put an edge on that question when you read it or you say it. Go ahead and have a chip on your shoulder when you ask it, or have tears streaming down your cheeks. Make it a challenge, an accusation, a cry for help, a fervent plea. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Those words can be asked in so many, many different ways by John and by men and women and children like us in so many different situations. Here we learn two things from St. John. First, we learn that there's nothing wrong with asking questions of Jesus. Absolutely nothing wrong with asking questions of Jesus, or even of asking questions about Jesus. And second, we learn what to do with those questions. We learn to take our questions to Jesus. You can be honest with your Lord. But what about trusting him, you ask? Can I really be honest with him? Isn't that against trust? And the truth of it is no. What about trust? Honesty and trust are not opposites. They go together. So trust Jesus like this, not by stuffing down your questions or your doubts or your fears, but by naming them. Bring them to him. If he couldn't endure your doubts, what a small and petty savior he would be. As if Jesus were to say, "Bring me your blind and your deaf and your lame and your dead. Oh, but don't bring any questions or any doubts. I can't handle those." How silly. Of course he can handle your questions. Of course he can handle your doubts. Trust only grows when it is exercised and when it is used, so use it by asking him. If you want a stronger faith, in other words, don't look inside yourself and don't beat yourself up, but send to him. John, of course, isn't the only one who experiences a mismatch between what Scripture promises and the reality of life here and now. He isn't the only one who finds himself often stuck in a dark and lonely prison cell. He isn't the only one for whom words of consolation have dried up and whose zeal has burned out. To a greater or lesser degree, at one time or another, we know what it's like. Angry with God and with others because things haven't turned out at all like we expected. Burying our faces in tear-stained pillows because of our suffering and our sorrow. Anxious about what the future holds for those who depend on us, for our family and our friends. We are all trying to make sense of how things are, of why, even though the Christ has come, life and our life in the world don't quite seem to be what we think they should be. We try to make sense of our feelings, of this disconnect between the promises and the reality. We try to remind ourselves of the truth, but it can still seem hollow, especially when we're telling it to ourselves. Oh, for sure, promises, beautiful promises, fill the pages of the Bible, real and true promises. But we don't experience those promises in full. Not yet. The Messiah has come, but the full messianic kingdom has not. We can't see it, so we struggle to believe. Don't be disheartened by this struggle that you feel. Don't be disheartened by the questions or the doubt. Faith doesn't come easy. Faith doesn't come easy, but it does come. How? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So the disciples of John bring his question to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? They bring their doubt and their uncertainty to Jesus. They bring their challenge and their cry for help to Jesus. They want to hear it from him. They know where to go for comfort. They go straight to the source. They want the comfort that Jesus alone can give. And Jesus answers them. It's so beautiful. He doesn't send them away. He doesn't tell them to shut up and sit down. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Now, on the one hand, that may not seem like much. Jesus doesn't send them back with a key to the prison or with a hidden file. He sends them back with a word. He sends them as eyewitnesses of the word made flesh. They bear witness to this, that everything promised by the prophet Isaiah, everything we heard in Isaiah 35 today, all of it lives in Jesus. So Jesus, the Word, comes to John through those messengers. As the messengers speak the Word, Jesus is sneaking in with those words. He is sneaking by the watchful guards, and he is passing through the prison bars, and he pierces the dark, and he comforts lonely John, just as Isaiah said that he would. For Jesus strengthens John's weak hands. And he makes firm John's feeble knees. And he says to John, who has an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come. He will come and save you. So yes, John remains in prison. But Jesus makes it clear by his signs, he will act on John's behalf. If not now, then soon. And if not soon, then now. John hasn't been forgotten. His suffering isn't in vain, nor is his suffering eternal. It will have an end. He won't be left to die and decay forever. Jesus is zealous for John, zealous for the forerunner who went before him. And what he's doing for John's benefit. And this zeal that Jesus has for John will lead to an even worse and darker place than John's prison cell. How far will Jesus go to help John the Baptist? How far will he go to give words of consolation to one in despair and discouragement? How far will he go to prove that he is the coming one? And that we need not look for another. He will go even to death on the cross. He will go as far as suffering the hell of abandonment by his Father. He will go all the way into the grave. And what will become of John with a Savior like this? What will become of the one whom Jesus called the greatest among those born of women? No quick fix for John. And yet because of Jesus, he can face the future not with resignation, but with hope and with joy. The short term may look really bleak for John. His head will end on a platter, but the long term is bright. Because of Jesus, John will live, even though he dies. First, he lives by faith through the word until finally he lives by sight in the life of the world to come. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. As great as John is, however, Jesus said that the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He said those words for you and for me. In what way is the one who is least greater than John the Baptist? The messengers sent to us bring an even greater word than the messengers sent to John. The ones who went to John told about the blind seeing and the dead being raised, but we hear even more. We hear that not only the blind and the poor and the lame, but Jesus himself has done what was needed. That Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, not only has healed those who are sick with his signs, his miracles, but he himself has died, and he is risen, and he is ascended on high, and he will come again in glory. The coming one has done exactly what he came to do. Are you the one who is to come? Jesus is the one. He is the one who comes to us again and again with zeal and with consolation. He comes to us by adding his word to water, holy baptism, and he tells us that it saves us. He comes by adding his word to bread and wine, holy communion, and he promises us that his body and blood gives his eternal life to us. He puts his word in the mouth of his pastor, holy absolution, and he forgives our sins. Jesus does these miracles, these signs, again and again and again for you. I bet John in prison would have loved that. Jesus is our source of comfort. Jesus is the one who sneaks by our doubts, who passes through the bars of our questions, who pierces the dark in our hearts and our minds, who comforts the lonely, including us. Be strong, he says. Fear not. Behold, I, your God, have come and will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. I am coming to save you, to save you too. Jesus makes it clear. He has acted on your behalf, and he acts on your behalf still. Blessed are you, because you are not offended by Jesus. In following John the Baptist, even in sharing his doubts and his questions, we end up following Jesus. We learn to live by faith in him, not by an easy faith, not by faith in ourselves, but by faith in him. And this is something we learn not just once and we've got it down, but this is something we learn over and over and over again, week after week, in the experience of, in the school of experience and through our life in this world. As what we see doesn't match up with what he's promised, we come back and bring our questions and our doubts to him again. We entrust ourselves into his hands. And we learn with John to suffer by faith. And we learn with John to hold to the truth by faith, being unwilling to bend or waver. Our flesh may not like it, but so what? Jesus means death to our sinful flesh, but he will raise our bodies to life, whole and uncorrupt. One of my favorite lines in the Old Testament reading today is when it says that even a fool will not go astray. Even a fool will not go astray when he is following Christ. So let us follow Christ by following John. As we live by faith with our questions and our doubts, let us be patient until the coming of the Lord. Like the prophets, like Job, like John the Baptist, we endure through the comfort that Christ himself gives. And we have his promise. Because of Jesus, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. For now we live by faith, but soon, with John, we will walk by sight. Rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.